Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope, and I'm Father Stosh Daly, sharing these few moments with you at the end of the hour. As the afternoon comes to a close, today let us recall that on Tuesdays, we are given the pride and privilege as Catholic Christians to recall the presence of the holy angels in our lives, the messengers that God places in our presence so that we may know his desire for us to come back to him and to know best how to do it, how best to make the journey through life so that we are successful in arriving at heaven. Every Tuesday, the Church encourages us to venerate the holy angels, to call to mind, and to allow us to be attentive to first the presence of our guardian angel, the angel that the good Lord has assigned to us to watch over us, to protect us, defend us, and to pray for us. The guardian angels, of course, lead us into considering all of the other angels, whether they be the archangels or the seraphim and cherubim. Oftentimes, people will ask questions about the different categories or what we call the choirs of angels, and how do they relate to us? First and foremost, let us recall that with our eyes focused on Jesus, with our eyes and ears focused on the Lord, the angels prompt us to look towards heaven. The angels prompt us to look towards God. The angels are creatures in and of their own right, their own species. They are not people. They're not animals. The angels are their own category of beings. St. Thomas Aquinas, we call the angelic doctor because of the power of his insights into the truths of divine, as well as his knowledge that he shares, derived after following the logic of our theology, the knowledge he shares about the angels. St. Thomas Aquinas divides all of the angels into nine categories, or nine choirs. And those nine choirs of angels are then broken into three separate categories. In the first category of the three choirs, we have the seraphim, the cherubim, and the thrones. In the second category of three more choirs of angels, we have the dominations, the virtues, and the powers. And then in the third and final category of the three choirs of angels, we have the principalities, the archangels, and the angels. The angels that we think of and are perhaps most familiar with are actually towards the bottom of the nine choirs of angels. Our guardian angels, the holy angels, the holy guardian angels, as we might call them, or the archangels, they are most familiar with us because they are given the task of walking with us in life, interceding on our behalf, protecting us. But the higher you go up the nine choirs of angels, the closer and closer you get to the throne of God. Now, someone might rightly ask, what does all of this have to do with me, these angels? Well, let us remember that the angels are messengers of God. They're given a particular task. Some only glorify the Lord because he is God. Others are given the task of interceding on behalf of particular people, countries, nations. Others still yet are assigned to particular souls. When we consider the angels, we consider just how detailed God's love is for all of creation, even heaven itself. And that helps us to appreciate and fall down and wonder in awe how you and I are not forgotten. You and I are not anecdotal or like a side note or a footnote to the overall beauty of God's creation. We are integral. The Lord desires intimacy with us. When you think of the billions and billions and billions of people called into existence over the course of all the ages, when you think of the ups and downs of history, not just 2,000 years of Christian history, but all ages within history, known only by God. When you think of the greatness of all of creation, the detail of the created order, going even into the areas of science like biology and geology. When you go into natural history and you think of all of the different many details that are before us in the created order. And then we think of us, humanity, or you, or me, we are so easily tempted in the face of something so vast and great, like all of creation, to think that no one really knows we are here. But when we learn about the angels, especially the guardian angels or the archangels, we come to understand that in the midst of all of the created order, each of us matters. God knows us by name. It reflects the greatness of God, the incredible vastness of his knowledge and his love. The angels, whenever we consider the angels or ponder the angels as his messengers, how he assigns an angel to every soul, the guardian angel, we learn so much about the Lord's providential care and guidance for us. It's important for us to keep in mind that the angels should never be reduced to or summarized by those chubby little creepy magnets that people hang on their refrigerator, or little stickers that people might put on envelopes or papers. But the angels are incredible creatures. The angels are called into being by God to guide, protect, defend, and pray for souls, you and me, every human person. The angels are called into being to glorify and worship and adore the Most High God. It's one of the reasons why we maintain a reverential silence when we enter into the church, when we go to visit and pray before Jesus, truly present in the Holy Eucharist. We're not just silent because it's the church. We're silent because there are creatures there praying and adoring and worshiping God in the Holy Eucharist. It's out of respect for the presence of the angels that we are silent when we enter into the church and pray. Think about when we pray the Holy Mass, when we sing or say the Gloria. Are we not echoing a hymn of praise first sung by the angels at the Nativity of Jesus in Bethlehem? The words are given to us by the church, passed down to us because it was a hymn of praise, glorifying God for entering into creation, glorifying God for coming into the flesh. Think of the humility of the angels. The angels don't have bodies. They're not limited to flesh and bones. They are spiritual beings. But think of their humility. They are far superior to man and woman because the angels are not limited like we are. But the angels, in their knowledge given at their creation, they know God will become man. God will take on flesh. He will come in human form, and therefore, Jesus the Christ in his humanity will be far less than the angels in dignity. But he is still the divine one, the Son of the Most High, the second person of the Trinity. In his human nature, in his flesh, he is far less than the angels. But as God, they still worship him. Think of the humility of the angels in adoring the Lord Jesus, the God-man. Think of the humility exhibited by the angels when they keep vigil by the tabernacle where Jesus is present in the Holy Eucharist. When we think of the angels then praying, when we think of the angels and their humility, it's an opportunity for each one of us to grow, not only in our humility, but also in our hope. Our hope that Jesus Christ lives and dwells among us in the Holy Eucharist. It requires of each one of us incredible humility to make a trip to the church, the parish church, the adoration chapel, and to pray before the Lord in the Holy Eucharist. The voices of this world tell us, push down upon us, that Jesus in the Eucharist is a fable, a fairy tale. It's made up. It's not real. But our faith, our holy Catholic faith, teaches us quite the contrary. Inspired by the words of the gospel, prompted by the Holy Spirit, and remaining faithful to Jesus Christ in the flesh, we understand, appreciate, and accept the gift he makes of himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. Whereas the eyes of the world see only bread, the one who knows, loves, and serves Jesus, they see the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, truly present among us in the Holy Eucharist. We are inspired, therefore, but also taught by the holy angels how to, with great humility, adore the Lord. Adore the Lord who is present among us in the Holy Eucharist. The holy angels also teach us, by their example, in Bethlehem, singing the Gloria, how to treasure the gift of life, how to kneel before God in the flesh who comes to us as a child, God who comes to us in the flesh as a baby. Life itself is precious. Life itself is sacred. Life is of God. And the Lord shares life with us. He calls us into life, not merely into existence, but into life. And in order for us to maintain that sacredness, that appreciation for the sacredness of life, we have to be men and women of hope. We have to be those who are witnesses to the resurrection. And yet to maintain our grasp of hope, we have to have examples, witnesses of glory. And so the Lord, in his greatness and in his goodness, he sends us the holy angels to teach us how to pray, to teach us how to maintain humility, to teach us how to come back to him. In this moment, then, let us appreciate the presence of the holy angels. Rarely are they visible, but always are they present among us. As we're driving, working, praying, trying to rest, trying to be faithful to our duties, let us ask the holy angels for their prayers. Let us ask the holy angels for their wisdom to guide us and protect us. Being ever attentive to the presence of God's love and presence and the angels he surrounds us with, may the Lord give you his peace.